God, give it up to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. We may be seated. Are we ready for the word? Wow. We welcome you all, Bazalwane, and we want to say thank you for the honor, David D. And your wife, thank you so much. Let's appreciate the servant of God, the pastor, the man of God. Bazalwane, I want us to go to the word of God. I'm about to welcome the father, the apostle. I think you can't deny his impact in my life. After I got saved, Fountain of Life then, which is now Dominion Life. I used to go there every year for crossover. Pastor May knows, for crossover and for January prayers. I got saved, I think, 2001 April, Good Friday. And soon after that, I think one of the days when I went for prayer, I was located, and these words were spoken over my life. Motwa Sansebi, and said, nations are waiting for you. Just those words, nations are waiting for you. And I'm going to leave a few months to get policies. And Bazalwane, Apostle Ndobe is a father, is an apostle in our nation, which the Lord has honored us with. When he came a few years back, I read 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6. There is a man in our city whom is honored, and everything he says comes to pass. Hallelujah. Acts 10:44, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, we are blessed tonight, Bazalwane, to have a father. Daddy, you are welcome. We are a weird church. Nothing will distract you. Talk to us as the Lord has laid in your heart. Ritlile, we have prepared this. We've been advertising the gathering for the past 300 days. So we are ready tonight for what the Lord is going to say to us. And we pray that God uses you tonight for my situation, for our ministry, and for all of us. Hallelujah. But I want you, Bazalwane, that we have received an apostle. He's a man of the word. So I want us to receive and not be distracted, and believe God that we will hear the voice behind the voice. Hallelujah. You are welcome. And we love you. We appreciate you. Kalibizo la Jesu. Amen. Can I kick up a little clip? Are we ready? And then we will welcome the apostle to come and take over. Let's go.
Eagles Church, Christ-centered, transforming lives. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you our third guest speaker for the gathering of Eagles 2024, Apostle Ben Ndobe. Apostle Ben Ndobe is a founder, visionary, and apostolic leader of Dominion Life Cathedral International, based in Tembisa, Johannesburg, South Africa. In 1987, Apostle Ben Ndobe left his medical studies to answer and pursue the call of God into ministry upon his life. He served under the leadership of his spiritual father, Sam Stark, at New Life Church in Bryanston. This is where he also completed his Bible college training. In 1991, after having faithfully served, the leadership released him to pioneer his own work. That same year, in the month of August, Dominion Life Cathedral International was established. The church has since grown significantly over the years, with several other branches planted both within and outside South Africa. Apostle Ben Ndobe is one of the most solid, biblical and theologically sound teacher of the Word, who teaches the Word of God with absolute clarity and boldness. He ministers as an apologist for the faith, a debater and a lawyer in the spiritual sense. for the plans and the purpose of God, endeavoring to establish and build God's value system in the lives of his hearers. He is also mightily used by God in the prophetic office. His passion about God's kingdom has seen him raise and adopt many spiritual sons in his ministry and provides apostolic oversight and covering over them. He's a much sought after speaker, both within and outside of the country, and preaches the gospel in local churches, conferences, seminars, conventions, and camp meetings. He's also an alumni in the world famous Haggai Institute and has also served as their international faculty for several years. He's an author of 3 life-changing books, Passing the Money Test and Be Planted in God's House, as well as Advice to Young Pastors. Apostle Ben Ndobe is married to his lovely wife, Pastor Tandi Ndobe, who also serves with him in the ministry as one of the associate pastors. They reside in Midrand, Johannesburg, and they are blessed with children. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Apostle Ben Ndobe.
Let's stand up on our feet and honor the apostle. Ay, Bazalwane, ay, Bazalwane, ay, Bazalwane. My daddy, put your hands together for the Lord. Appreciate the prophet of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. As we remain standing, what an honor and a privilege for me to be in this great house. I want to appreciate the setman of this house. They call him evangelist, but it's not alive in my spirit. This apostolic leader, Popela and his lovely wife, thank you, sir, for the honor and the privilege of being invited to stand behind the pulpit where you stand. It's an honor we don't take lightly nor for granted. I also want to honor Apostle Nelson Popela, my fellow brother, fellow apostle, together with his lovely wife, the parents of this giant of faith. Thank you for allowing God to use you, sir, to raise this man, not only to give birth to him, but to raise him up in the ways of the Lord. We honor you, sir. Can we give God a big hand of appreciation? Amen. Bishop Murudu, all the apostles and prophets in the house, the fivefold ministries, you are welcome. David D., thank you for blessing us. Can we put our hands together and appreciate all the servants of God? We may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And Dr. Peche, this is a son that has been with me since 1996, right? Something like that. You know that piano that kicks? I think the key of F will do. With my whole life, Lord, I will love you with my whole life. Lord, I will love you with my whole life. Lord, I will love you. I will love you with my whole heart. With my whole with my whole heart. Lord, I will love you with my whole heart. Lord, I will love you. I will love you with my
my whole heart in the presence of the Lord. There is peace in the presence of the Lord. There is love in the presence of the Lord. There is healing. Lord, I stand in your presence with my life, with my hope. Lord, I will love you with my whole love. Lord, I will love you with my whole heart. Lord, I will love you. I will love you with my whole heart, with my whole heart, with my hold on. Come breathe upon me, breath of God. Breathe upon me, sweet spirit of the Lord. As I leave my hands in surrender to your name, Most High, I'm leaning to your spirit, and I'm walking in your love, Jesus. I adore Jesus. I adore Jesus. I adore your holy name.
Ma bredes teve, ma gurushte vegimbradas ekia la bamba gada. Father, we thank you tonight for the past 9 years that you've done. And yea, it's only the beginning, says the Lord God, for you ain't seen nothing, says the Lord. For great are the things that are laid in store for you. For I am declaring even this night that this is the home of breakthroughs. Not just breakthrough, but breakthroughs, says the Lord. And this shall be a solution ground, says the Lord God. For many shall come impotent, sick, maimed, and lamed. Not only physically, but some emotionally. But by my power and the power of my spirit in this house, I shall cause miracles, signs and wonders to be the order of the day. For the lame shall walk and the sick shall be healed. And those that have died financially shall receive financial miracles. Millionaires will be raised. People in the sphere of education will be raised. For eagles will be raised in different spheres of society from this place, says the Lord. Receive a fresh mantle and fresh grace for the next 10 years. For yea, you shall run with speed, says the Lord. For even this night I'm releasing the anointing to overtake. I'm releasing divine speed. For you shall overtake even your contemporaries, says the Lord God. For I shall do in 1 year what took others 10 years to fulfill and to achieve, says the Lord God. For even in this place, there has been times where there has been agitations, even in this community, where people were trying to break in and steal, where there has been agitations, says the Lord God. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you into a season of peace. I'm bringing you into a season where you will be embraced and be celebrated by the community. I'm bringing you into a season where the community will even rise up to protect this house, says the Lord God. Magedesa baringida babrushte kivrama digishta bagamba ndiakesta shialabambra gedesia telemba igiliesta vabrodesia. For this is not just a church, it is a boot camp, says the Lord. This is a training ground. This is a training center. This is a place where champions will be raised. This is where a place where champions will be inaugurated. Have I not said in my word that I raise the poor from the dust? And yea, says the Lord, this is the place where the poor will be raised. This is the place where people's potentials will be located, affirmed, developed, and released, says the Lord God. In the same way, the anointing upon David changed and transformed the 400 men, and they became the mighty men of David. Even so, says the Lord, I release upon you, my son, this night, the same grace. For there are many that will come with their different deeds, and they shall experience transformation by virtue of their connection to this house and to the grace this house, says the Lord God. And the Lord would say, for I have placed my son even in your mouth, a great word, and at times I have placed words, and I have dropped faith even in your spirit. And the Lord would say, open your mouth and begin to speak. And the Lord would say, for there are times and seasons where I will place you over situations, where I will place you over principalities, where I will place you over certain demonic altars, and I will put my word in your mouth, just like I did Jeremiah. It's time for you to arise and speak. It may not make sense to your mind, says the Lord God, but it makes sense in the realm of the spirit. For I release upon you a new level of grace, a new level of authority, a new level of anointing in the realm of the spirit. For this is the time for you to rise up and begin to pray governmentally. This is the time where you need to command situations, where you need to command circumstances, where you even need to command demonic entities, where you even need to speak and change situations. And it shall be so, says the Lord God. For I'm putting upon you even the coat of many colors. For many will see it, and not many will be impressed. And the Lord will say, I'm releasing even upon your life the grace to discern, the grace to know, the grace to discern what to say to who and what not to say to who. My hand is upon you, son, and you shall see even great things. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a big hand of appreciation. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, I'm not a... How can I explain it? Ministries are different. No? I don't sing to entertain. I don't sing because I'm trying to bring the anointing. The anointing was here. Most of the time I worship to align myself, to position myself, to hear clearly. So I do it for myself, to open certain portals in the realms of the spirit that would enable me to hear clearly. Have you not read in the Bible that before a prophet prophesied, they would have a minstrel, they would say, play a minstrel and a music. And as the minstrel plays, it will activate that grace and that anointing. Hallelujah. And so I'm glad I connect with the grace of this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's quickly go into the word of the Lord tonight. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for what he has done. I wish I was here for day one and day two. I don't really like being in a conference just to speak and disappear. If I had it my way, I would attend right from the beginning, listen to other speakers, because when you attend a conference, you're not just going there to speak, but also to be ministered to. And by the way, congratulations for this beauty. The last time I was here, it was a tent. And look at this beautiful thing. And we thank God for the declaration that apostle. Let's give God a big hand of appreciation. Wow. This is beautiful. Excellence of ministry. Amen. But this is small, eh? Way too small. It's way too small. Way too small. Amen. I want us to look at something that, you know, apostolic people and prophetic people, sometimes they will have a seasonal word trapped in their spirit. There's one thing about apostles and prophets, they never run out of what to teach and what to preach. In fact, their biggest problem is trying to figure out what to preach, because they have so much, because they are very resourceful people. Apostles and prophets need different outlets. That is why they preach longer, because they have a lot of content, but very few outlets. But sometimes the Lord will drop a seasonal word in your spirit, and you find that you can't break away from that word. And so wherever you go, you are compelled to speak it. Obviously, if it is a conference, you have to solicit the permission of, your host. And so that's what I do. But there's a word that has been niggling in my spirit, and it has to do with the local church. In our church, we've themed this whole year. In fact, I think, I'm suspecting it will be for the next 5 years. We have themed the importance of the local church for... If it goes for the next 5 years, that's okay. Now, let me just say this about the apostolic and the prophetic. We've got different graces, fivefold ministry, different graces. The evangelist preaches the word, and the teacher teaches the word, and the prophet declares, and so forth, and the teacher explains the word. We've got different graces, and we need all of the fivefold ministry. But we need to understand something about the apostolic in particular, is that they bring order. Their ministry is confrontational. The apostles and prophets, they are confrontational. Yeah, the word they bring is confrontational, and they bring order. They are not really inspirational all the time, but they are confrontational, and they bring shift, and they bring order, and they bring alignment, and they cause you to think and to consider certain things, and to make certain adjustments and changes. And we differ. Sometimes you teach with a lot of amens. Sometimes there is no amen. I've had to live with the fact that I'm not called to bless people, but I'm called to challenge people. And so if you don't say amen or preach it, it doesn't bother me at all. but I know my assignment. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I want us to quickly turn in our Bibles to, I'm going to read three scriptures and then we will move. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 and 16. And then I'm also going to read Numbers 27, 16 and 17. Then Acts 20 verse 28. Let's start with Jeremiah 3, 15 and 16. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Then Numbers 27, 16 and 17 says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Now that's important. In your Bible you can underline, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Then Acts 20 verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I want to speak to us on a very simple topic. You, your local church, and your pastor. You, your local church, and your pastor. This is a triangle of relationships that you need to understand. I've discovered for the 3 decades that I have been a pastor, over 3 decades, that most believers don't understand the dynamics of church life. Most believers don't understand how to live the Christian life within the local church. They have no clue what is expected of them. To them, the church is where I will be buried when I die, where they will baptize me, where they will marry me when I want to get married, where they will help solve my problems. That is the thinking. That is the understanding of church. Believers don't understand the dynamics of church life. They have no idea why they belong to their local churches. As a matter of fact, they don't understand the place of the local church in their lives, the place of the pastor in their lives. They don't understand. They have no idea. That is why you hear people saying statements like this: we have left the church, we have left the church, but not God. That is why you hear people saying things like this: no, I'm okay with God. I am born again and I love God. I can pray at home. I can read the Bible at home. I can fellowship with the Holy Spirit at home. I don't need a pastor. I don't need to go to church. Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus is my shepherd. Really, tell us, how does he shepherd you? Because he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. There is a relationship between you, your local church, and your pastor. Now, as a point of departure, let's start here. Most believers, there are different types of believers. Number one, there are those who say, I come to church for God only. I'm not coming to church for any man. I'm coming to church for God. So I don't care about the pastor. I don't care about the leadership in the church. I don't care about other believers. I'm coming to church just to listen to the word of God. He's the one that saved me. I'm connected to God. So these believers are connected to God by relationship, but they are disconnected to the church, disconnected to fellow believers, and disconnected to the shepherd They only come to church just to hear the word and just to receive the service that the church renders through his servant. They say, I've come for God and not men. I listen to God and not men. So they don't care about God's vision for the local church. They don't care about the shepherd that God has put in place. They care about connecting with fellow believers. To them, I've gone to church, I'm going to hear God. How they hear from God, that's the least of their concerns. And so these are the people who want to benefit from the ministry and the services rendered by the pastor without reciprocation. For them, the church exists for them. For them, they are the reason why the church exists. So they zoom in. I've come to worship God. I've worshiped God out. And that's it. I've worshiped God in, out. And they are not concerned about every other thing. The second group of believers are those who are connected to God, yes, through the new birth. They are born again. They are also connected to the vision of the house. And they are also, to a large extent, connected to fellow believers. But they are disconnected to the visionary. These are people who put the project of the church ahead of the visionary. These are people who are more concerned about the structures, about the well-being of the local church at the expense of the visionary. They are connected to God, connected to church, which is fellow believers, and the vision of the church, but disconnected to the visionary. We're only concerned about the work of God here. We're only concerned about people going to heaven. We're only concerned about doing what God has called us to do. They don't care about the helmsman. They don't care about the vision bearer. They don't care about the person who has been mandated by God to drive this vehicle called the local church towards God's intended destination. So they are disconnected to the visionary. They are disconnected to their Moses. They want to go to the promised land. They have embraced the vision of the promised land, but they are discord. They don't have a relationship with their Moses. They want to hear God, not Moses. So these are the people that would tell you, I'm just going to church for God, not for the pastor. I don't care about the pastor. I'm just going to church to worship God. Yeah, I've not gone there for man. I've gone there for God. Sounds spiritual. Then you have this group, which is the ideal group. Those who are connected to God, connected to the vision of the house, connected to the visionary, and connected to the local church. These are believers who understand that they are in church primarily to worship God under a God-ordained shepherd whom they accept, love, honor, and submit under. In addition, they understand that the church is a family, therefore their connection to God leads to their connection to the children of God, which is the family of God, under a God-ordained shepherd. This is where we should be. Where you understand that yes, you are connected to God. Because here's the problem. Some believe in individualistic Christianity. Individualistic Christianity. I'm born again. I give my life to Christ. My sins have been washed. I can fellowship with God. I can pray. I can speak with other tongues. The Holy Spirit, God can speak to me by His Spirit. I can read the Word. You know, I can even watch television and hear other ministers, you know, preaching. I can learn from them. I can fast and pray in my house. God can speak to me. So I don't need the pastor. I don't need to go to church. I don't need fellowship with other saints because I have a relationship with God. So I don't need church. As a matter of fact, church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. I don't need a pastor. Jesus died on the cross for me. And these are believers with that kind of a mindset. They have an individualistic mindset, but they fail to realize one thing. Yes, Christianity is personal. Your relationship with God is personal. It is true that when you give your life to Christ, you are connected to Him and you have direct access to Him. But don't forget that your connection, you are not the only one that have connected with God. And therefore your connection to God also connects you with other people who connected to God. So your connection to God also connects you to God's family, which is the local church. You see, it's like in the family. If you have three children, can you imagine? You have your firstborn, and then the secondborn, and the thirdborn. So the firstborn says, I love my parents, I can talk to them. And then the second born is born, and they don't want to connect to the second born. They don't want to talk to the third born, because I'm connected to my parents, so I don't need others. You understand that kind of mindset? So you have believers who say, I don't need a local church because I'm connected to God. Now, there's one thing we need to understand, that whilst Christianity is personal, whilst your connection with God is personal, Christianity is not lived in isolation from others, but it is lived in community with other believers. And that's where the local church comes in. Being part of the local church is not undermining your personal connection with God. But it is saying to you that you were not just saved to connect with God, you were saved to serve Him in community. You were saved to serve Him in community with other believers to fulfill the missional mandate given to the local church where God has placed you. That is why the local church is important. Now, I don't want to talk much about the local church tonight, but I want to talk about the pastor. Everybody say the pastor. Who is the pastor? The pastor is the shepherd. The term pastor comes from the word shepherd, one who guides and cares for the flock. The Latin word is transliterated with pastor. It means a shepherd. So the imagery of shepherd and sheep is intimately tied to pastoral ministry. Remember Paul in his farewell address to the church in Ephesus. He pictured the church and its leaders as a flock with shepherds in Acts 20:28. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which He bought with His own blood. So the metaphor of the shepherd who cares for his flock becomes then the metaphor that defines the work of the local pastor. So, the pastor is the shepherd. He is mandated to shepherd the flock of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Take note that the pastor or the shepherd has been made an overseer. He did not make himself. The word overseers tells us that they have authority. That is why Hebrews 13 verse 7 and 17. Verse 7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Verse 17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. So shepherds, what does it mean to be shepherd over the flock? To be shepherds over the flock or the sheep means that it is the shepherd's responsibility to lead. So one of the responsibilities of a shepherd is to lead. Now you would think that believers understand that, But I have discovered that they don't. It is to lead. To lead who? The sheep. To lead the sheep. Paul says, watch over. He says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So shepherds were not voted in. That is why we were never democratically elected and we can never be democratically removed. That is why I read Numbers 27. The Bible says, let the God of all spirit set a man over the congregation. It is God who does the setting. It is not voting. We are not pastors because we were voted in. We were made overseers. And who made us overseers? Keep watch over yourself, all the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So we are overseers or leaders by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It says shepherds, the church of God. Why were we made overseers? To shepherd or to lead. In Hebrews 13, it says we need to rule. Now, this is not talking about dictatorial rule. It is talking about shepherding rule. It is talking about us leading you according to the word of God. We're not talking about dictatorial rule here. We are talking about shepherding rule. Now, watch this. That is why most believers, if you say to them, why didn't you come to church? They may not say it, but there is an attitude that is, who do you think you are? Hey, Mfundis. What business of yours is that if I come to church or if I don't come to church? Say, hey, why are you not treating your wife according to the word? Hey, pastor, who do you think you are? There is that kind of attitude. Because believers read these scriptures, but they don't make sense of what they mean. Believers will say, I want you to be my pastor. They like that, but they don't know the implication of me being your pastor. Me being your pastor means I have a measure of authority to rule, to oversee, and you need to submit and obey. Now, you don't want to hear that, ne? Because in our mindset, the pastor is someone who has failed in business or in whatever, and they got stranded and they decided to take the easiest way to make money and to bring people together and to preach to people. We only go there because we want them to bury us one day when we die. That's the mindset that people, that is why we honor more civil leaders than spiritual leaders. Yeah. If the mayor of our city were to walk in here, we will all stand. But if we were to say, when the servant of God comes in, let's stand. We say, hey, look at the cult in the church now. Now, Baruti Baba Bata Riemele Abake. See, Bazalwan. The equalizer's mentality. Yeah, Baruti Baba had the sofa. Ano Baruti Baba dula di sofa. You've heard that debate. The sofa. Yeah, why ka fela ralikana? Why don't we all sit in the same seats? Why is the pastor's chair special? Well, in your house, why is your couch different from where your children are sitting? Spiritually speaking, in terms of responsibility, in terms of grace, in terms of responsibility, harilikani. That is why we are overseers to lead. You see, we have equalizers in church. equalizers are people who normally would look at the mistake or the shortcomings of a man or a woman of God, and they will use that to pull him down to their level and say, Raligan. Raligan. I'm here to talk to you about some things about how you relate with your pastor. Because, you know, that is why it has become so easy to gossip about pastors, to say anything about them. You know, the problem with us in the church today is that we are confusing democracy with theocracy. Because we are living in a democratic society, we want to bring democracy into the church, you see. But the church is not a democracy, it's a theocracy, it's a kingdom. Now, Romans 13 tells us that God is the source of all authority. God is the source of all legitimate authority. It says everyone who exercises authority has this authority delegated to them by God. Romans 13 verses 1 through 2, 5. Now God, who is the source of all legitimate authority, and that word legitimate is important because there is illegitimate authority. Now God, who is the source of all legitimate authority, divided his authority and delegated it into four different spheres. That is why we have, number one, he delegated, thank you sir, he delegated his authority to the civil sphere. That is where we have civil authority or civil government. That is where we have presidents, we have premiers, and we have mayors, and so forth. They deal with civil matters. The authority that they carry has been delegated to them by God. Whether they are born again or not born again, that authority that they have has been delegated to them by God. That is why when we submit to authorities, to those, we are submitting to God. Right? And then there is the second division of authority is social authority. And this is authority in the marketplace. This is where we have soccer coaches, employers, and this is where we have school principals. This is where we have authority in the marketplace. All those who are running businesses, owning businesses, the CEOs, school principal, teachers, the authority that they have is legitimately delegated to them by God. It is called social authority. Then God delegated his authority on the third sphere, which is the family, where we have family authority. This is authority in the home, and God's organogram in the home is that the man is the head, and then the wife and the children submit under the man. That's God's organogram in the home. And then in the church, we have spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is that God, that is theocracy. In theocracy, theocracy is the rule of God through his appointed servants called elders. And that is where we have the plurality and the co-equality of elders with a chief amongst equals. Plurality in that there is nowhere in the New Testament church where one man runs a church. It has to be elders, plural. That is why when you read the epistles, it's the church and elders, the church and elders. So there is plurality of elders. The church is not to be run autocratically. It's not a one-man show. It's a team work. Plurality of elders. So there is plurality. Co-equality, it's not co-equality in rank and in authority. It is co-equality in function. We are all functioning as elders. Plurality and co-equality of elders with a chief amongst equals. The chief amongst equals is the set man, the vision bearer, the overseer, the one who started the church, the one who obeyed God. He is a chief amongst equals. Why? Because he has the right of veto to make a final decision. Because he's the one that birthed the local church from God. And of all the elders and the chief amongst equals, the other elders were not called by God. He was called by God. The other elders were appointed by the men called by God. Are we still together? If you are an elder here, like the Americans say, take a chill pill, you are not called by God. Eldership is not a calling. Eldership is not a calling. You can read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Eldership is an appointment. In Titus 1 verse 5, Paul says to Titus, ordain elders in every city. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, if you desire to be an elder or to be a bishop, you desire a good work. So it comes by desire. So if you have a desire to be an elder, you are in a, there's nothing wrong with that. Keep desiring. It comes by desire, not by revelation, not by calling. So all the elders are appointed by the man who was called by God. That is theocracy. Now here's what I want to say. Democracy is good in civil society. Democracy is the rule of the people, by the people, for the people. In democracy, the power is with the people. They can give it to you for 5 years and take it back from you. In democracy, it is the desires of the people. It is what the people want. That is why they are free to voice their opinions. That is why they are free to say their own mind, to say whatever they say. But in the church, it is theocracy. It is a thus saith the Lord. And God speaks to the set men, and the set men deliberates with his eldership team for checks and balances. They pray together. They hear God together. And as a team, they come and say, congregation, this is what God says. And the congregation should say, amen, and run with what God says. No, excuse me, I have my own opinion. Excuse me, no, if God says so, that's it. The church is a kingdom. So here's the problem. Sama comrade le ku politik. Esiletumba ubu comrade kupi esontui. Indirectly. And we treat the pastor like a political, someone who was appointed politically. See, that's what I like. There's no amen, but it's okay. You cannot say Pastor Popela is your pastor, but he cannot correct you. But he cannot hold you accountable. And then when he holds you accountable, he says, who does he think he is? Amen. Makangiyeke mangizile esontweni yangizile. Mangazanga makahlukane nami. Kanti yini ufunani? The shepherds lead. Now, let me address one fact and then I'll go to the meat before we prepare to wind up. Most believers have this mindset. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. Arabati baruti, baruti baba maka, baruti baba, you know, baruti. Ay, narkatetska baruti. Ibile ba nali matata abo na baruti ba tshwana le rena na namrutu akaki Jesu. Hear me. I don't condone the weaknesses of leadership. We need to do better. We need to lead by example. And it's shame that most of us as leaders, we are not the example that we should be. And I also know that the Bible says there is a stricter judgment for those that are in authority. But having said that, that doesn't take away the fact that we are human. And because we are human, we are not perfect. The office we occupy is perfect, but it is occupied by an imperfect vessel. So you submit and you honor us because of the office. Listen, you don't honor a person because of behavior. You honor a person because of who they are, because of office. I've just lost you there. Let me come again. If your mother is a witch doctor, or your mother is an alcoholic and she's drunk, how many of you know that it's a wrong behavior? But does that mean you should dishonor her? You should honor her even when she is drunk. Because honor, you don't honor behavior. You honor her for who she is. You honor the office. The Bible says, it doesn't say honor your perfect father and mother. It says honor your father and mother. Whatever she does is wrong. But you honor her for who she is to you. You honor your father for who he is. You honor the shepherd for who he is. He may be having his own issues, but honor the office. Honor them because of the office. You know why a lot of believers are operating in curses? Is because such things are not being taught. Believers think that if their biological parents are doing wrong things, because they are not guilty of what the parents are doing, they have the license, because they are pure and clean. They have a license to say anything about them. Just like Ham, who uncovered his father's nakedness. And the other brothers were not impressed. They walked backwards and they covered the father's nakedness. And the reason why is because you don't honor behavior, you honor the office. Miriam and Aaron got into trouble. But Moses had done wrong. He married outside of the camp of Israel. But God still came and said, hey, why then did you were you not afraid to speak bad about my servant? Miriam became leprous. And you think Aaron went scot-free? Read Numbers chapter 20. God did not strike him because God respected the priestly garments. In Numbers chapter 20, he was derobed and God killed him. God is a killer. He's not a murderer, but he's a killer. He's the one that killed Moses. Hey, he also killed Ananias and Sapphira. Are you shocked? Now, we need to honor our pastors. We need to respect our pastors. It never amazes me. How many of you know that Eli, had his own weaknesses as a parent? He was not disciplining his own kids. And that was displeasing before the Lord. God had issues with Eli because he didn't restrain his children. And yet Samuel submitted under Eli. And he became one of the greatest prophets under a man who was imperfect. As a matter of fact, the conception of Samuel was through the declaration of that imperfect man. But you know what? Samuel himself, when he grew up, his sons were also taking bribes in the temple, although he was a great man of God. Okay. Let me answer those who are saying, Jesus is my pastor. I don't need a pastor. Jesus is my pastor. Where is Jesus right now? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 1, from verses 20 right through. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Romans 8, verse 34. Hebrews 7, verse 25. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So since Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, And the Bible tells us that he is the chief shepherd. The question is, how then does Jesus shepherd his flock on earth today? When you are quoting Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Physically, he's not on earth. So how does he shepherd his flock today? The answer is simple. He shepherds his flock today through the fivefold ministry gift of a pastor. The pastor, therefore, stands in Christ's stead. The pastor, therefore, is the extension of the pastoral ministry of Jesus. The pastor, therefore, is the delegated authority from Christ to shepherd the flock on his behalf. Therefore, you cannot be shepherded by Christ if you don't have a local pastor. And you cannot be shepherded by Christ if you are not part of the local church. Asilungisenile. Mina nginandaba nabafundisi, mina noNkulunkulu si grand. So noma ngingayo esontweni, noma nginganamfundisi mina ngiright. How is he shepherding you if you don't have a pastor? And how is he shepherding you if you are not in a sheepfold called the local church? So you cannot separate the pastor, the shepherd, from Christ, the chief shepherd. The pastor, the under shepherd. You cannot separate him. That is why the way you treat your pastor determines how God will treat you. In Luke 10:16, it says, he who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So since the pastor is standing in Christ's stead, he's an overseer appointed by the Holy Spirit to shepherd the flock of God. If you are not rightly related with your pastor, you cannot be rightly related with Christ who sent him. So you can't rebel against your pastor and be right with Christ. You cannot dishonor your pastor and claim to be honoring God. Unless this is a pastor who wants you to do wrong. Of course, we're not talking, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But as long as the man of God is teaching you the word of God and is walking in the ways of God, he may not be perfect, but you need to obey them. And the way you treat your pastor determines as a congregation how God will deal with you. Pastors, therefore, are the extension of the shepherding ministry of Jesus. The pastor stands in Christ's stead. They represent Christ. The Lord cannot be your shepherd, according to Psalm 23, if you are not submitted to a pastor of a local church, or if you are not part of the local church. You see how important the local church is? The local church is important because it is when you are part of the local church that you are able to have a shepherd over your life. And God can only shepherd you through the pastor in the local church. Those outside of the local church are outside of the shepherding ministry of Jesus, which he carries out through the five ministry gift or office of a pastor. So for Jesus to be your shepherd and for you to enjoy the benefits of Psalm 23, you must belong to a local church where you will come under submission to a local pastor. That way, Jesus will shepherd you through his under shepherd, who is the pastor. If you are not part of any church, you are like an amputated limb. You may look fresh for a while, but after some time, you will wither and rot. That's why you need to stay connected to the body. So the way you handle your pastor determines how God will deal with you. It amazes me that most believers don't even think about this. They think they can treat the pastor anyhow, say anything about the pastor, and still pray in tongues and connect with God and nothing, as if nothing happened. I don't know. Maybe kuthi abafundisi siyadeleleka. I don't know. You need a shepherd as a believer, therefore. You need a shepherd. You need someone to shepherd you. You need a pastor. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now here's where I want to land now. God chooses a pastor or a shepherd for you. This is where part of my message is. The gist of my message is. You don't choose a pastor for yourself. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. With all of my heart. Jesus, I love you. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more. Now, God says, I will give you shepherd. Is that in your Bible, Bazalwan? He says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. I will give you shepherds after my own heart. I will give you shepherds according to my own heart. You will not give yourselves, but I will. I am the one that will give you. Now, truth is parallel. Just like you do not choose your biological parents and your family because God does the choosing for you. Even so, you do not choose your spiritual family to belong to. It is God who chooses for you. Now, you are about to get a truth you have never thought of. Since you don't choose a shepherd for yourself, consequently, you don't choose a church for yourself. You know, something hit me, Muruti. Something hit me when I just went to the bathroom. And when the Lord was telling me, this is a place where eagles are raised. So he dropped something in my spirit. And he said, all the people that I will connect with this grace, that I will bring in this house, are people who are potential eagles. Are people who have what it takes to be eagles. And they will come into the environment where eagles' potentials is unearthed, developed, equipped, trained, and released. Then the Holy Spirit said this to me, can you imagine if someone who is called to be in this environment decide to leave and go to a ministry that is supposed to, you know, release a dove expression? Because you see, the Holy Spirit is a dove. I mean, he's not a dove. He is as gentle as a dove. And the Bible says, be as wise as serpents and be as innocent as doves. And there are ministries that may be called, you know, to release that gentleness of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. So can you imagine you have this eagle characteristics and you leave that environment that God had chosen for you because he knew what he had placed in you and he knew where what he has placed in you will find expression. And you decided to go to Ndobe who has been anointed to release doves. And so you end up having an eagle amongst doves. Okay, let me start putting it this way, Bazalwane. Lalelani. God chooses a shepherd for you. It stands to reason that you are part of the shepherd's flock. You are to belong to the sheepfold or the local church your shepherd is assigned to. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So, my sheep hear my voice. So every shepherd has been given sheep. Every sheep has been allocated a shepherd by God. I will give you shepherds. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, what are the implications of Jeremiah 3:15 and 16? Let me just give you that and close. Number one, implication number one. He says, I will give you shepherds. Number one implication is that your pastor is God's gift to you. He says, I will give you, your pastor is a gift from God. The word says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart. So your pastor is God's gift to you. In Ephesians 4:8, it says, therefore, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. And verse 11 tells us what those gifts are. It says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are God's gifts to the church. So your pastor is God's gift to you. Now, too often we think that gifts are the ability for these men or women of God, you know, to minister. But we forget that they themselves are God's gift to the body. So if the pastor is God's gift to you, it is reasonable to think that there's a right way and a wrong way to treat them. Now, what do you do when a gift is given to you? You either accept the gift, receive the gift, or what? Reject the gift. To receive means to willingly accept what is offered. So what you receive, you possess. The unfortunate thing is that sometimes there are some gifts that we are given that we don't receive. We may take them, but taking them does not mean we have received them. We may take them, but we have not received them. We may take them because we don't want to disappoint the giver. We may take them, and that is why there are so many gifts that were given to you, and you even said, no, this is a seed. It's a seed, and you pass it over to somebody else because you didn't want it. There are some gifts that were given to you. You don't even care where you put them. You put them carelessly because you did not receive them, because you did not want them, but you did not say. So sometimes when you reject a gift, you don't say it outright, I don't want this gift. But the way you treat it becomes an indication whether you have accepted or rejected the gift. And you can tell if the church has received their pastor as a gift, or if the church has not accepted their pastor as a gift. How can you tell? By the way they treat him. By the way they respond to him. By the way they honor or dishonor him. By the way, you know, they either obey or disobey him. In Luke 10:16, Jesus says, he who hears me, who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So when you reject your pastor because you are not treating him well, you are indirectly rejecting God who sent him to you. Jesus was rejected by the people God had assigned him to minister to. In John 1:11, the Bible says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. It is possible for God to call a man of God and bring him to a people, anoint him, empower that man, grace that man for a people who do not receive him, who do not accept him. And consequently, what the man carries for the people does not benefit them, Because whatever a man of God carries responds to honor. The second implication of Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you shepherds, is that not every pastor is called to pastor you. There is a specific pastor assigned to do that role in your life. I will give you shepherds after my own heart. You will not give yourself. You will not choose. I, the Lord, will give you. So the implication is that not every pastor is called to pastor you. They can bless you through their teachings, bless you through their books, exhort you. They can bless you in terms of teaching you. But there's only one man who is anointed to shepherd you, and that is the pastor assigned to you. Not every pastor has the grace to pastor you. That is why you may be okay when you are in a church where God wants you, and your life is messed up when you leave that place, because you disconnected from someone who was anointed to pastor you. Number three, the third implication is, don't look for a church. Look for the shepherd God has given you. It sounds, someone called me and says, no, I'm still praying. I'm looking for a local church. I said, no, the problem with looking for a local church is that you may choose a local church. You may make a wrong choice, because you may choose a local church based on their building, based on their equipment, based on their programs, based on your own shopping list, the things you want, a good children's church, you know, a good sounds equipment, a church that is closer to where I stay, and things like that. And not that those things are wrong in themselves, but according to this text, God does not say, I will give you a church after my own heart. He says, I will give you a shepherd. So don't find a church, find a shepherd. And when you find the shepherd God has assigned to you, you will automatically locate the church you are supposed to be in. Sometimes we leave the shepherds God has assigned for us, and we find the church with good programs and everything, and then we wonder why we end up with a good church without a God-ordained shepherd. And remember this, the connection between you and your shepherd is destiny related. It is a destiny related relationship. You know, people pray for destiny helpers. Okay, one of the greatest destiny helpers in your life is the pastor God has ordained for you. You know why? Not only is he the one that is anointed to shepherd you, but God knows the potentials in you. He knows his calling upon your life. He knows the abilities in you. He knows what he has called you to be. And he knows the right shepherd and the right soil and the right environment where what he has ordained for you to be can be made a reality. So when you bypass the shepherd and you are attracted to buildings and you are attracted to, you know, the charisma of any man of God or the buildings, and you don't connect where God wants you to connect, you may end up in a church with good programs, but you may end up not getting anywhere in terms of your destiny. You look for the shepherd. You don't have to look. Some people are running around like, you know, headless chicken. So, yeah, there is deliverance there. I'm going to join that church. There is deliverance. Okay, fine. After getting your deliverance, you realize that this church has deliverance, but the praise and worship is not good. So you are looking for praise and worship. Yeah, they have delivered, they are right. But this one has good praise and worship. So you leave. You come to the one with good praise and worship, and you find that they are not prayerful. Then you leave. You go. What you will find is that every local church has got strong points and weaknesses, strong points and weaknesses. Why? Because no one local church has it all. So that we can need one another. So if you are in a church that is strong on deliverance, stay there. If you want to enjoy some other ministries that your church does not have, visit other churches, because we are members of the same body. You don't have to disconnect where God wants you because your pastor is not performing miracles. So you are looking for a pastor who is performing miracles. Stay with your shepherd. Your responsibility is to find your shepherd. The shepherd God has given to you as a gift. Number four. The fourth implication, the same as this one. You don't choose your local church. God chooses it for you. And how do you locate your local church? By locating the pastor. You don't attend the nearest local church. For the 3 decades that I've been a pastor, I realized that it is good to have people that God has called you to be within the church. Not rolling stones. Not people who are hopping from one spiritual hotspot to the next. You can't build anything. You can't build anything with people that are not stable. Basalwan, belonging to a local church is a calling. Muriti Popela cannot decide tomorrow to say, I'm leaving Eagles. Mrutindob, give me the branch at Libue. No, he's called here. And in the same way, the pastor is called to the local church. God calls people to the local church by connecting them to the pastor he has assigned for them. So you don't attend the nearest church. You attend the church where God has called you. I don't know, you know, I've relocated to Pretoria and I realize that it's too far. You know, Tembisa is too far. So there's a church 500 meters. You are missing the point. You may save on petrol and lose on destiny. Your destiny is connected to the shepherd God has assigned for you. I want to say this in closing. Members of Eagles, what I saw tonight, I just realized that I just came to activate you, to release this impartation, to release the word that I released. I want to say this to you. What I saw tonight here was this place as a boot camp. And the Lord said, tell them that those that I have assigned to be here must be planted here. Bazalanwa say, Eagles, please, don't come to Dominion Life Cathedral if you are called here. We don't want you. No, honestly, we don't want you. There are a lot of sinners in Bechikas and in Tembisa that we are looking for. If God has called you here, like Eagles, we don't want you in DLCI. Stay here. This is your shepherd. And if God has placed you here and raised him to be your shepherd, whatever he can give you, I can't give you. Whatever God has ordained for you to become in terms of ministry and destiny, you cannot become elsewhere. Stay with your shepherd. Let's stand on our feet. Stay with your shepherd. Bishop Murudu, please come, sir, and pray for us. We are trusting God for believers, the eagles that would say, Muruti Popela, we are with you. Muruti Popela, we are standing with you. You can count on me for the next 10 years. You can count on me to be here until God says otherwise. Muruti Popela, you are my pastor. Muruti Popela, I will obey you. I will submit under you as long as you are submitted under Christ. We are not talking about blind loyalty. We are talking about submitting to a man of God as he is submitted to Christ. Muruti, fivefold ministries. You're going to raise fivefold ministries. You've already started. I don't know, but there are some people that the Lord will tell you to ordain them. He will tell you to. In fact, there are some people you already know it in your heart and in your spirit at the right time. But I see a mushrooming of good teachers of the word, like the sister who received the offering here. She's one of those. She's amongst those. But there are many others. There are three young evangelists that would emerge in this house. Vibrant, fiery, very vibrant. And there is a youth movement that God wants to birth through this ministry. The next 10 years, it's time to equip, to train, to equip and to train, because God wants to send you to nations. But the base must be strong. The base must be strong. And you will go in and out strategically. But God wants to establish a very strong base. And in Tembisa, start speaking to principalities in the heavens. There is authority in your tongue. It is said that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So, let me cut it, because we can move. Ashte Vega. Crusades, ne? Crusades. 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 And God is going to raise up kingdom financiers, some of them from here, some of them not from here. You will go in and out. Crusades. Yeah. Yeah, some of the things, the personal, Mara. You and your wife, sorry, I don't know if Tabayaba and Ali Fedi or Ro, Mishito Satuela P. Okay. But what I feel also is that the Lord, okay, I'll talk to you. I can't put it here. It's a good word, but some of the things are personal. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving and adoration that is due to your name. Mruti, I see a woman who constantly comes. She comes. That woman is a witch, ne? Now, you will know. But the grace of God, she will be arrested. Liba screening ka ofela, especially baba orino. Nakibata orapela 1 hour before everybody else arapela. Libaba baobata orapela bali one. Rapela ka ofela. Because even after this conference, the enemy will try to bring counter attacks. So it will be good to have some time of prayer to push off, because you are gaining more ground in the realm of the spirit. More ground in the realm of the spirit. Bishop.
Maybe just before we pray, I'm not sure if you have picked up what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to release, particularly for this house, this year. I'm not sure if you are a child of this house, you are able to pick up what the Lord is saying to this church. I'm not sure if you have heard all prophetic words that were spoken over this house. Just before we pray, I want you to understand that every word that was spoken here is dependent on every member of this house for it to come to pass. Because when somebody is given a word like this, and he's got people around him that are not able to catch up what that word is all about, that word will look like it's not from God. I think as eagles this year, we are challenged to understand, or we need to align ourselves so that we can do better than what we have started to do. I want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. We are going to pray. And as we pray, I also want you to be making a decision from your corner as a son of this house, to say, I've heard what the Lord has spoken over us as a church, and this is what I'm going to do. This will be my contribution to ensure that every prophetic word that was spoken over our lives comes to pass. Don't fail what God has spoken over this house. Let that which God spoke over us become what will drive us in our next years that are going to follow. Father, we thank you tonight. Landu shatima salamande keletosta namahaya. Ilechleria siyanda mahlo satemehele kamasho. Limando kostere nemeti analamando kosaya. Father, we thank you for the word that you have spoken over this house even tonight. Thank you for using our father, Apostle Ndobe. Thank you for the prophetic utterances that you spoke over this house, even over the set men of this house. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will cause a shifting in the spirits of your people in this house, that, oh God, they will line up and align with what you want to do through this house. Let the mighty Father God be enlightened in their spirits and even in their minds to understand that, oh God, they are not just a church, but they are a center that will have to impact lives around. We pray that, oh God, even as they do what you have called them to do, Lord God, open the south gate, the north gate, and the east gate, and mighty Father God, the north gate, and begin, oh Father God, to pour and release, oh God, help that they need. We pray that, oh God, no weapon of the enemy will prevail against this word that you have spoken over their lives. They will live to see the manifestation of every prophetic words over their life. I pray that, oh God, the sons of this house and the daughters of this house will rise up, oh God, and live up to their names, oh God. That, oh Father, they will begin to bring, oh Father God, their talents, their giftings, their callings in support of the work that you're doing in this house. We pray that, oh Father God, you will raise a banner in this house that even, mighty God, this community will not deny that, oh God, there is something happening in this house. I pray that, oh God, the anointing that will flow in this house, oh God, will affect every individual that will ever step their foot in this house. In the name that is above every other name, we speak, oh God, that Heavenly Father, every spoken word that you've spoken over your servant and over your church will come to pass and materialize. It's just a matter of time. We will begin to see it happening before our eyes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Maybe in the same breath, if you're there, you're not saved, you're saying, Maruti, pray with us. Pray with me. You say, I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's your prayer, wherever you are, we don't want to release you and you don't know the Lord. Can you lift up your hand wherever you are? We are going to pray with you and pray for you and lead you to the Lord. Because we know that your life will change, your life matters before Christ. Are you there? You say, Maruti, pray with me, I want to be saved. Lift up your hand, let me see it, and we are going to pray with you. Is there any hand? God bless you. Maruti Popela, come.